Sports on 99.9 WTUZ.
That's us, Eric McElroy, Adam Soweski, tonight. Join the program. Call or text on our Weaver Appliance text line 330-339-9399. We also have poll questions up on Facebook and Twitter. That's another way to interact with the show. Great interview with Zach Meisel, senior writer for The Athletic in Cleveland, talking Tribe, of course, with opening day yesterday, and our baseball discussion continues, Adam, with our buddy from Cincinnati. It's, of course, Mo Egger from 700 WLW and ESPN 1530. Mo, how are you, my friend?
I'm good, guys. What's going on?
Well, I tell you what, we're excited that baseball is here, kind of snuck up on everybody here. Listen, opening day in Cincinnati, Joe Gekler tells us all the time, it's bigger down there than it is in Cleveland. It's a big event. Shed some light. I mean, the parade and everything, it was a beautiful day. Of course, the Reds got the dub. Just for us up here, explain what it is like opening day down in Cincinnati.
It's our biggest holiday. I mean, I'm typically not one that buys into hyperbole or hypes things up and makes them bigger than they are. Opening day here is enormous. It is, the city shuts down. Nobody goes to work. Nobody goes to school, at least if you have good parents. And it's a citywide celebration. I mean, opening day, I think, is a big deal everywhere because the start of the baseball season is great. And it's something to celebrate. Warm weather's coming, that kind of thing.
Yeah, but it's
something here that people take personally. You know, I remember when I was in high school, 1994, they moved opening day to Sunday night, the first ever Sunday night baseball broadcast to start opening day, to start the season. And the Reds played the Cardinals. And people were upset about that. This is a town that takes opening day seriously. Sometimes you could wonder if they take baseball seriously, but they take opening day seriously. And I've never talked to anybody from outside who came here from opening day who didn't walk away going, you know what, you folks in Cincinnati are right. You guys do it differently there than everywhere else.
Yeah, of course, Joe was down there yesterday for opening day, our fearless leader here, our sports director. Of course, the Reds got the victory over the Pittsburgh Pirates. But if you look, I mean, what are the real expectations? Mo, what are yours? What should fans expect from the Reds this season?
I think the expectation is that they're certainly significantly better than they were last year. And I think marginally within arm's length of being a legitimate contender. I think this is, you know, the absolute best case scenario for this team is probably still slightly above 81 wins, maybe kind of flirting with being in contention for the second wild card spot. They're interesting though, because I think at the deadline, you know, there's two different directions they can go in, and I don't think either are bad. One is, you know, you've obtained all these guys, or you have all these guys who aren't under, you know, any sort of guarantee to be back here next year. We're talking about Puig and Matt Kemp and, you know, Alex Wood, some bullpen guys, Scooter Jeanette, and I think if they decide around July 31st, they're not really in it. They're going to have a chance to flip some of those guys for some younger players, some prospects, even some big league guys already who are under team control. Or if they determine, you know, we're kind of in the hunt, let's go for it. They've got a lot of prospects in the minor leagues that the people really like, and they'll be able to flip those guys and get somebody who can maybe put them over the top. But, you know, this is a deeper team than they had a year ago. Offensively, I think this team should score a lot of runs. I think they're going to be abysmal defensively, and their starting pitching is going to be a huge question mark until it's not. And, you know, they obviously upgraded the rotation with some guys from other teams this year. But, you know, you're still asking for a lot of guys to have seasons better than the ones they posted in 2018. But they've certainly revived interest in the team. And for a franchise that's lost 94 more games each of the last four seasons, I think even if the payoff isn't as big as fans would like, they had to do something to be relevant again. And I think this team has a chance to stay relevant for, you know, at least most of the season.
Scooter, what's going on with him in the latest? When can fans expect him to be back?
It's going to be months. It's going to be the original prognosis was 8 to 12 weeks, which, you know, that's a big bat out of the lineup. Scooter,
yeah.
Jeanette has been a revelation. You know, they got him off the scrap heap from the Brewers. He was very good in 2017. He was an all-star last year, and he went into a season this year. He's scheduled to be a free agent at the end of the season, with a chance to either, you know, make a claim for a long-term deal here or get, you know, maybe big money in free agency elsewhere. But yeah, he's going to miss some time. Here's the difference, though, I think, between the Reds, what they've been and what they are now. Typically, you lose a Scooter Gennett here, and the drop-off to whoever replaces him is immense. Jose Iglesias is now starting at shortstop for this team. He was supposed to be the backup. They've slid Jose Peraza over to second. Jose Iglesias has been an all-star before. He's been on a World Series team before.
Yeah.
He had a couple of hits, and he's probably an upgrade defensively from what they've been doing in the infield with Scooter Gennett. So, but yeah, he's going to miss some time. I'm going to guess it's going to be at least early June before you see him, and you know we'll see what this team is able to do to compensate for his absence.
Both Jose's had big days though yesterday, right? Didn't they?
Yeah, Peraza. Yeah. I was going to ask you, Mo. How did the mix of emotions go for you yesterday? You know, Peraza hits a solo shot. And then Dietrich hits the three-run shot. They're up 5-2.
Oh, they went. It was a party.
Everybody's you know feeling great. It's 5-2, top of the ninth. Then they walk the bases loaded. I mean, how? what was your thought process?
Happy opening day in Cincinnati. Yeah.
My thought process was, this looks familiar. I've been here before. You know, it was really what David Bell in his first game as a big league manager did. I think he opened himself up to some second guessing. First of all, he doesn't play Matt Kemp, which is interesting because of the money he's making. Second, he pulls Luis Castillo after just 91 pitches. He had given up two hits in the sixth inning, and the guy who comes in, Jared Hughes, gives up the lead. He turns things over to Iglesias, the guy who is their best reliever. They go to him in the eighth inning, which means, you know, you're going to have to ask some other guys to get big outs in the ninth. And Iglesias wasn't very effective. And, yeah, the game was kind of hanging in the balance. But I believe the bullpen of this team should be a strength. And I think what you saw yesterday, Jared Hughes not coming up big, I don't think that's going to be a recurring theme. And I certainly don't think that Raisel Iglesias struggling the way he did yesterday is going to be a recurring theme. If it is, because I don't think the starting pitching is going to be that good, that could be a problem. But I think the bullpen, managed effectively, could be an asset for this club.
Well, the nice thing is, Mo, when everybody woke up this morning, looked in the win column, it was a win, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, you guys did use, like 6 pitchers, I think, yesterday on opening day. But if you say, I mean, you guys got the arms in the pen, you might as well use him. It sounds like a little bit the Reds and the Indians are on opposite ends of the spectrum. We're worried about scoring runs this year, and we have a dominant staff, and it's kind of the opposite end for the Reds down there. It's Mo Egger, 700 WLW, ESPN 1530 there in Cincinnati. He's the guy that does not sleep. You can find him on Twitter, Mo Egger 1530. Mo, the use of the bullpen, are you surprised they did bring in Iglesias in the eighth inning instead of the ninth? I mean,
no, because David Bell has said all along, I'm going to use my bullpen differently. And I think you've seen in this division, look, Josh Hader was Milwaukee's best reliever last year. He didn't lead the team in saves. You know, you guys up there saw the way that Terry Francona used Andrew Miller. I think there's an emphasis in the sport in 2019 on using your best guys to get the most critical outs. And I think with Iglesias, you know, you have to remember, when he came here, he was a starter. So he has pitched, you know, relatively deep into games before. He has, I think, across Major League Baseball over the last 2 years, he has more saves of more than 3 outs than anybody, at least in the National League. And so, no, I think you're going to see that often this year. Plus, you know, David Hernandez closed out the game for him. David Hernandez was fantastic last year. And I think that really, you know, that's going to be something really worth paying attention to, the usage of Raisel Iglesias specifically and the other relievers in the bullpen. And, you know, he's got a valuable asset in Michael Lorenzen coming out of his bullpen, who actually finished the game in center field yesterday. So he's a guy you could bring in, and you don't necessarily have to double switch. You don't necessarily have to pinch hit for him because he's got a bona fide big league bat. So, I think used effectively, this pen, which at the beginning of last year was really, really good. The problem was, on average, the Reds starters gave the team the second fewest amount of innings per start of anybody in the National League. If they're not taxed and if they're not asked to do too much early, then I think this relief corps should be pretty good. And given what they should be able to do offensively, I think they can win some games late, primarily because the guys they're going to be bringing in those later innings are pretty good.
So your heart rate will pretty much be the same all year as what it was yesterday in the late innings.
No doubt about
that. What you're saying. So basically, a seven pitchers used if you count Lorenzen, right? I mean, pinch runner, then let him play in center field, I guess. So I guess
exactly. Yes.
Well, Mo, looking forward to tomorrow. Obviously, weather pending. Sonny Gray makes his debut. You know, this will be my last pitcher question for you. But what's your expectations for Sonny Gray? I mean, he's kind of been at each end of the spectrum.
Well, the expectations should be huge because of the three pitchers they got this offseason. He's the guy they've locked into. You know, Tanner Roark they got, but he could leave at the end of this year. And Alex Wood they got, but he could leave at the end of this year. They traded for Sonny Gray, and then they gave him a three-year contract. So what they're hoping for is, number one, pitching in New York, pitching at Yankee Stadium, his splits were very, very drastic. He was awful at home, and he was pretty good everywhere else. Secondly, the Reds pitching coach is Sonny Gray's pitching coach from college. And Derek Johnson was with Milwaukee last year, and people love this guy. And I've talked to Derek about Sonny Gray, and he has said very emphatically, I can fix him. So the onus is obviously on Sonny Gray, but Derek Johnson was the one pushing, hey, let's get this guy, and then let's keep him. And if it works out, if Sonny Gray ends up pitching the way he did for a couple of years in Oakland, you've got a guy for the next 3 years at less than $10 million per that's a near the top of the rotation guy. That's pretty good. If it fails, you're stuck with Sonny Gray at about $30 million.
Yeah.
So this is big. It's a hitter's park, quite obviously, which is like Yankee Stadium. But I'm really interested to see if paired with a guy who stuck his neck out and said, let's go get him, if Sonny Gray can, you know, rebound and be the kind of guy he was in Oakland.
Now, the NL Central, I mean, you look at it with these teams, the Cardinals, the Cubs, the Brewers. Didn't the Brewers make the playoffs last year, or did I make that up? Did I make that up or no?
No, I think they were a wild card team, weren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, I thought they were. Not. What I'm getting at is the NL Central is a highly competitive division. You got the Pirates in there, and I mean, you cover obviously the NL Central. Pirates have some pitching issues and then health issues too. Lonnie, I guess Chisenhall is out for some time. But where do you expect Reds above the Pirates when it's all said and done, Mo? What do you think?
I think the Reds are a fourth-place team. This division is hellacious. You know, you go back to last year, the St. Louis Cardinals won 88 games and didn't come close to making the playoffs. If you go back to 2016 and 2017, the last wild card team won 87 games. That's how good this division was. Heck, the Chicago Cubs won the second most amount of games in the National League and got the wild card. Chicago still has, I think, an elite offense, and they're going to get Yu Darvish back. The Milwaukee Brewers have the best bullpen in the National League, and they bring back basically a team that was a game away from the World Series last year. And the St. Louis Cardinals got Paul Goldschmidt and Andrew Miller. Now, the key question there is going to be starting pitching, but they played very well in the second half once they replaced Mike Matheny with Mike Schilt. So I think those three teams, I think Chicago's going to win the division, and I think the Cardinals and Brewers are better than Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. I think the Reds are going to be good enough to flirt with finishing 500. I think it's going to be interesting. I went out and said they're going to win 78 games, and my rationale for picking them to finish below 500 was I think that unless they are definitively in the race at the deadline, they're going to trade away a bunch of guys, which is going to hurt their ability to win games in the final 2 months of the season. I think the Reds are better than Pittsburgh. I'm not sure they're going to be able to score enough runs, but that's a team that finished above 500 last year. I think the Reds are a fourth-place team, but I think these teams are going to be, you know, packed in pretty tight against each other in the division.
Yeah, I think you're right too, Mo. And I'm not sold on Milwaukee. They did make the playoffs too last year. I just had to look to confirm. But I'm not really so much sold on them, to be honest with you. And like you said, the Cardinals only won 88 games last year. But you guys, and you all beat up on each other. I mean, you guys, you just, it's what it is.
Well, I think the thing with Milwaukee that you wonder about is how many guys had career years that aren't individually going to be able to duplicate what they did year ago. But they have the reigning National League MVP. They have a loaded outfield. Scoring runs is not going to be a problem for that team. And the arms they can bring out of the bullpen, that's the number one reason I think why they, A, won the division, and B, again, advanced as far as they did in the playoffs, they can throw some arms at you. When Josh Hader can come out of the bullpen and get out of a jam in, say, the seventh inning and then finish off the game in the eighth or ninth, and then you can bring in some other guys the following day if you're not going to use Hader, Craig Counsell has a great amount of flexibility. And he, I think, handled that bullpen about as well as you can. That, to me, is, and I think the Reds have a good pen. Chicago will find out. I think the Cubs are going to score a bunch of runs. I think the Brewers are going to win a bunch of games late because they shut you down in the later innings. And I think Goldschmidt and Miller are huge acquisitions. That, to me, is why those three teams, St. Louis, Milwaukee, and Chicago, are head and shoulders above and beyond the other two teams in the division. But, no, I don't think anybody's going to win 96 games. And the Cubs and Brewers both won that many last year. I still think it's a fair bet to put the Brewers in the playoffs. But, again, I think Chicago, because of how they can score, I think the Cubs are going to win the division again.
All right.
Well, I'm going to change gears on you here. You know, there's this thing going that's called March Madness that's going on. I can speak for myself. My bracket's in the tank. How's yours looking?
So, for the first time ever, I violated a rule that says you can only fill out one bracket. So I filled out two.
Okay.
And here's what I did. I filled out a bracket the tried and true way, which is you pick each game, who you think is going to win each game.
Okay.
You come to that conclusion, Duke's probably going to win the whole thing. So I'm looking at it from the standpoint of, if you're doing a bracket and you're in a pool, you're competing with other people, let's look for opportunities where maybe you can find some value in games or with teams that the people you're playing against aren't going to pick. So in that pool, I'm doing great. In our little office pool, I'm right now in fourth place. Now I need Virginia to win the whole thing. But to me, I looked at that bracket a little bit more strategically. That one's doing great. The one where I picked, you know, who I think is going to win each game, that's doing its usual miserable performance.
Right. And listen, there's no science to this thing. We all know. I did the same thing, Mo. I did too. One, I have flushed, and the other is, it's like there's a flame next to it on the ESPN app. I'm like, what is going on here? I don't understand. Hey, real quick, favorite in the American League? And we won't hold you to this. We know there's one day in, but if you're Las Vegas, the Mo Egger Casino and Resort, favorite in the American
League. The Boston Red Sox won the most amount of games in their franchise's history. Who did they lose?
Good answer. NL.
Exactly. In the National League, I'm actually picking the Washington Nationals.
Wow.
I'm going to go with Bill Simmons' Ewing theory, which says, you know, a guy, when I'm a big Knicks fan, Patrick Ewing wouldn't play in the late 90s, and the Knicks would always play better. I think that's going to happen with the Washington Nationals.
And it's a poll question Friday. We already asked you a couple there, and you answered one of them. You think the Reds will finish ahead of the Buccos. Has the Indians championship window, you know, that proverbial window, has it closed?
I think the window to win the World Series has. I think the window to win the American League Central is wide open. They have the
when I meant championship, I didn't mean World Series. Yeah,
but I think if you hold them, we could have done this last year. If you hold them up against New York, Boston, I think to an extent Tampa Bay, who I think could win 90 games again. I think if you hold them up against Houston, they're just not as good. Just not as good. Indians fans are long gonna look back at 2016 and wonder what if.
Oof.
It's been a really fun run, and I'm a huge Terry Francona guy, so I'd love to see them kind of make another chase at it. But I just, when you look at top to bottom, the other teams I mentioned, I could see in the American League the same five teams playing the playoffs again. And yep. I think that American League East race is going to be a lot of fun.
Exactly. And you looked at that Indians lineup yesterday. Just woof is basically it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was rough. Couple hits is all we had. Mo, again, thank you so much on a Friday night taking time out. We certainly appreciate it. Do you see Joe down there? He said he was going to stop by and try to see a bunch of guys.
I saw him the other day at the radio station. He looked exactly the way he looked 15 years ago.
Well, listen, he recently just underwent a transformation and lost. Adam, how much weight would you say Joe lost?
I think it's up to like 70 pounds.
Listen, and he has made a transformation, which is unbelievable. So for you to say that, I'm sure that's music to his ears. We'll tell him you said that.
Don't tell him I said that. I don't want
to. Mo Egger, again, 700 WLW, ESPN 1530. And like I said, he never sleeps. He's like New York City. And again, find him on Twitter. It's Mo Egger 1530. Mo, thank you, sir.
Okay, guys, thanks.